If you have your Bibles, again, we call your attention to the Acts of the Apostles. Shall be reading out of the 8th chapter, and I'll begin picking up at verse 14 through 20. The 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Based about thinking from verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Supporting scripture from Romans 6 and 23, very familiar passage. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. There are some gifts that can't be bought with money. There are some gifts that can't be bought with money. The angel said, name the baby Jesus. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for the Spirit of Christ this morning. Anybody love the Lord in here this morning? Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God a hallelujah praise anyhow. Hallelujah. Don't never take time out to give God praise. Every time I think about how good God has been, I can't help but give God praise this morning. For his name is Jesus. And because of Jesus, hallelujah, we got joy, we got peace, and everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank God for Jesus this morning. Thank him for the King of Kings. We thank him for being our God. God has blessed us here at Fowl's Chapel, and I'm just excited about Jesus. I'm still excited about what God is doing, about the spiritual growth of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not all about the building. It's about this building. We got to rebuild and continue to build and lift ourselves up to where God will be able to use us. Even on a cold, rainy day, God is still worthy to be praised. And I thank God for the members of this great church. Hallelujah. Does not the choir look good? Hallelujah, Jesus. Sound good? Look good? Hallelujah. There's so much red back there, I forgot which choir was back there. Sister Mary started singing. I thought Miss Mary was at home. Thought the weather had her this morning. When our elders embrace the weather and know the commitment that they have to serving a mighty God. Some of them folk that I'm not worried about them now, I'm just talking about them. But some of them folk that are at home ought to be ashamed of themselves, especially the young folk, to allow the elders to come out and outshine us. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I must say, you men look good this morning in your black and red. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are so many things that God has blessed us with that we take for granted. And I don't want to be one of those that take things for granted, people for granted, or my blessings for granted. And when you do what God would have you to do, then that is a blessing to me. Junebug, we thank you for getting our tree going and everything is in place. We grumble, we complain, we talk trash, but we get the job done. That's all I'm worried about. I don't care about you talking trash. I don't care about you getting mad, sticking your lips out, or getting wind in your jaw. Long as the job get done, everything going to be all right. Hallelujah. Now let's move forward. I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that there are some gifts that cannot be bought with money. By God's grace and by God's mercy on this cold Sunday morning, we are blessed to be in this place at this given time to offer our praise and thanksgiving to a deserving God. Don't begin to think that you are doing God a favor just by your being here. And then don't get it twisted to think that you're doing him a favor because you're singing or preaching or testifying, because the angels in heaven are always glory, glory, hallelujah, all day long, 24/7. So God hears sweet music in his ears all day long. But it's our responsibility because God has been so good to us. And I am so happy to be in service one more time, to look upon your faces. I thank God, because you know that there's something about being in this position. You love to get a break, but when you get a break, all you think about is the church. I had the phone trying to pull up the internet last Sunday morning and found out this week after the fact that the internet wasn't even working right. We ought to stay tuned in to what's going on in our house. We ought to stay tuned in into what's going on in the Word of God. And we got to understand that it's not because of us, but it's because of the power of a mighty God. And I thank God for being in this place, because I found out that there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I do know that it's the Spirit of the Lord, because any spirit that is sweet has got to be of God. It's got to be of something that is made of love. It's got to be something that can look over our faults and bless us despite ourselves. And as we come this morning to praise God and to give him thanks, I want us to know that he is worthy to be praised. He is, and he has such a special love for us, and it goes so deep and so strong that it was him that gave his son as a gift of ransom to save us from our sins. So as we make preparations for the Christmas holiday, let us give honor and pay tribute, first of all, to the Lamb of God. The one that was called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And some even call him Baby Jesus. As I began to work on the message, and I can't help at Christmas time thinking about Deacon Simmons, and he always sang that song this time of year, What You Gonna Name the Baby? Hallelujah. And we thank God. We thank God for the obedience of Mary and Joseph to do what God had instructed them to do. We understand that as we make preparations, we are getting ready to celebrate his birthday. So now, when you have your birthday, a lot of times you're wondering, what am I going to get for my birthday? We're looking for somebody to tell us that they love us. We're looking for someone to embrace us. We're looking for, even sometimes, we look for a gift from somebody. May not be everybody, but somebody ought to care enough about you that if nothing else, you can get a card. Anybody in here got friends enough or family enough that when it's your birthday, you know that you're going to get something? You don't know what it is, but you know you're going to get something. Well, now, I wonder, Jesus might be wondering now, what are you going to give him on his birthday? What in the world could you give to a God that has given you everything? David would put it like this: What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? So what can I give back to God for all that he's given me? Now I had someone to approach me not too long ago, actually, and they said, what do you give a man that's got everything? And I was wondering, who you looking at? I don't know what makes her think I got everything. But you know, I really, for some reason, I didn't really have an answer. Because sometimes when you've been raised in the right manner, it's not what you get. It's the it is the feeling, the motive behind who's giving it. It could be no more than happy birthday. And because you thought enough for me to remember my birthday, then I've been blessed already. Don't you know that there are some presents that cannot be bought with money? You can think that you're buying love, but you can't even buy love. You buy attention. You buy companionship. But you can't buy love. Love is freely given. So you better check yourself. When you began to go out and you start to look for that special gift, then you got to understand that there are some gifts that you can give that you don't have to go into your pocket. I wonder what your reaction would be if you go from one place to the next in the next couple of weeks looking for that special gift. And then when you get there, your money is no good. Your plastic won't work. They won't take a check. They don't have a debit card machine. And for whatever reason, you have lost your buying power. What in the world would you do if you didn't have any money at all? A lot of us know something about that. Do the best you can till you can get a little bit more. But now, when it comes to getting gifts, we got to know that when we get ready to finish our gift buying, we have to make sure we stay focused, pay attention to what's going on around us. You know, as you're out there, you got to understand that we are living in some terrible, crucial times. People are very desperate, and many people are out there, so it's hard and it's dangerous, and you got to understand that because people are desperate, they will do just about anything. You got to understand that there are those that are so broke that they don't know what in the world they are going to do. There are those that have been trying to get jobs and have been trying to make ends meet. And when you get to the holiday season, because they cannot give to their family like they want to, they are depressed and they're all downhearted. And there are many of them out there. They are looking for an opportunity to get something, no matter how they have to go to it. Because there are a lot of folk that fall under the category of just being mean. So when you go out there, that little change you got, you better be careful how you pull it out. You there in the store, and they may think you got a lot of money. You ain't got nothing but a pocket full of ones. You done pulled that big ball of ones out, and somebody think you got something, knock you upside your head for a little bit of nothing. You got to watch your back at all times, because those that you least suspect will take you if they get an opportunity. This is a time of year, even though it's a time of love and giving and sharing, it's also a time to be aware, to be mindful of those that don't have. And if you do have, you ought to be thankful for the things that you got. When we think about gifts, a gift is something that is given to somebody usually in order to provide pleasure or to show gratitude. A special talent having the natural ability that somebody was born with, it was God-given. So we got to understand that many of our gifts, the gifts that we get from God, we can't take credit for them. And we got to understand that we used to hear someone say, if you don't use it, that you'll lose it. But how many of you know that every one of us got a particular gift that God has given us? The problem is a lot of time we don't take time out to find out what that gift is all about. Yes, now, Paul writes in Romans 12, beginning at verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So you can't tell no more than what God allows you to know. Whether it's ministry, or let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. These are gifts that came from God. We have a young lady right here that is gifted from God. God blessed her with a talent that nobody can take away from her.
God blessed her with something that I'm sure in her earlier days, there were those that were envious because even I myself had always wanted to be able to play, but I can't. But I'm not envious to covet what she has. But there are some folk that want your gift to be their gift. But what you got to learn is how to use your own gift. You see, if God has given you a gift, you ought to be glad and thankful for that gift. But there are some folk that think that they are all so special because they got a wonderful voice and their voice is moving. But have you not thought about the anointing of God? The reason that you have such a nice voice is because it was a gift that came down from God. That's a gift that you can't buy with money. Now, that gift may make you some money, but you can't buy that gift with money. So now, if you have that natural talent of just doing things, anybody in here got any natural talent? You see, you don't have to begin to think that all of the natural talents is going to make you a superstar. Every natural talent is not going to make you rich. Every natural talent is not going to make you popular. There are some folks sitting in the woodwork that are just as gifted and talented as those of us that stand up and run our mouths. Don't you know that just because I stand up and preach on Sunday morning, God has gifted me with the gift of gab. God has anointed me with the spirit and power of God, but I'm not the only one. I take no credit for what God puts into this vessel. I take credit for the fact that I belong to God and God allowed his son to die for me. And the gift that God gave me, whether you like it or not, you can't do nothing with it. Every time I get an opportunity, I don't mind telling somebody how much I love the power of a mighty God. All the gifts that are given by God are given by the grace of a mighty God. And you got to learn how to use that gift to God's good. So many times when we see somebody else, we begin to think about, oh, if I had that power, if I had the ability to do that. And there are times that you got to learn your place, that there are some things that you might get to be able to do, but there's somebody that can do it better than you. Who made you king of kings? Who made you the one to think that it's all about you? And you got to understand that there are folk that can fool you into thinking that they got a whole lot of power and a whole lot of influence when it's at the end of the day, they don't have nothing. Hallelujah, Jesus. We think about gifts. And I thank God because with gifts, you got power. But the power comes from being a believer. You see, the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power unto salvation. And then it tells us that there are two types of people. There are two kinds. There are the believers and then there are the unbelievers. If you're a believer, then he will give you power. And I thank God for that power. Now, when we look at the word of God in our text this morning, we are dealing with one of the apostles by the name of Philip. The Bible says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And when he got down there, he began to preach to the people of God. He began to tell the people to get on one accord, to take heed of those things which I am telling you because I got some good news to tell you that everything is going to be all right. I got some good news to tell you that Jesus Christ, the one that you heard about that was crucified, he did get up out of the grave. And he got up with all power in his hand. And if you believe in the Jesus that I'm talking about, he will give you eternal life. But now, there were some in the midst of them that had unclean spirits. There were some that were crying out, Lord, I need a helping hand. There were those that were possessed with in the midst of them. And even those that were paralyzed and those that were lame. But the Bible says that they were healed. Now, in the midst of Philip's preaching, Philip had been gifted to tell the good news. And as Philip told the good news, those that heard the good news believed the good news and they began to be healed and began to have joy. For the Bible saying there was great joy in that city. Look what God can do. But now the Bible declares that there was a certain man called Simon. Now, Simon in the same city used sorcery. In other words, he had that some magic act. And he had a way of deceiving the people and he made himself to be someone great. The Bible said to him to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, they thought that Simon was somebody. You know how sometimes you got that one individual that sort of stands out in the crowd And that individual may have the gift of gab. That individual may be a musician himself, where they say that the hand is quicker than the eye. And they do some things that you don't understand how in the world that happened. So now, because the people had been deceived, the Bible said, to him they gave regard that for a long time, because he bewitched them with his magic. In other words, he fooled them. He made them think that he was all power. And they believed him to the point that the Bible said that when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering, beholding miracles and the signs that were done. Look at Simon now. Simon is the one that's the magician. Simon is the one that the people call the great one. The great one was just like a god himself. But now Simon didn't realize that he didn't have as much power as he thought, because Simon looked at the situation and Simon saw that there is a higher power. The Bible says Simon listened to Philip as Philip preached, and Simon believed also. So it lets you know that even though you may be, you have your mind twisted, the word of God can clear your head out. Now it takes some time to grow in the grace of God. So you got to understand that just because you give God your hand, you don't have all the answers. Just because you can say I'm saved and sanctified, you don't do everything just right. How many of you know that all have come short of the glory of God? How many of you know that I don't care how holy and sanctified you think you are, there are times when you need to call on a higher power. There are times when the devil knocked you down in the dirt. But when you look up to the hills, knowing where your help comes from, you know that there's a God somewhere. And I stopped by to tell you this morning that the apostles, they said that I heard that the power of God had been preached to the Samaritans, but they have not had the power of the Holy Ghost. I know that they've been baptized in the water, but they don't have any power. You see, every one of us that are a member of a missionary Baptist church, we've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But a lot of us don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, because we fail to allow the Spirit of God to come down in. But I want to let you know that the power of God is able to do what nobody else can do. Simon looked at the power of God. He looked at Philip, and then they said that I'm going to send for Peter and John. Peter and John came down and they began to pray for the people of God. And they looked down on the Samaritan and said, I heard that you got the word of God, but I found out that you don't have the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to pray to the power of a mighty God. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, I pray that the Holy Ghost will fall upon this my brother. And the Bible said that they looked at him and the power of God fell on them. And that the power of God fell on them. Simon began to look at this thing. Said, I believe that I need that kind of power. I got some power within myself, but I don't have that kind of power. But I got a little bit of money in my pocket, and I want to know if I can get that power. Oh, Peter, I want to know. Will you give me that power that when I lay hands on somebody, that they will receive the Holy Ghost? But how many of you know that everybody that lay hands don't have that power? Everybody that claim they got the power don't have the power. Don't let anybody or everybody lay hands on you. Simon said, I want that power. But the Bible said, you're going to perish with your money, because you thought that money could buy the gift of God. There are some gifts that money cannot buy. The gift of love, the gift of salvation, the gift of determination, the gift of breaking the chain that'll stop you from being the old wretch you were. Turn around. Know that there's a power of God. And when I see the power of my mighty God, I know that God has bestowed of me many gifts. Anybody thank God for the gift that he's given you this morning? Don't worry. Your change is going to come. Don't worry. Don't be like Simon, wanting something that don't belong to you. But if you need the power, God will give you the power. I come to tell you this morning that there are some gifts that money cannot buy. I look at the beautiful tree I don't see one gift, Junebug. But I believe that there are going to be some gifts. There are going to be some gifts. And even though I don't see the gift, I can see healing. I can see deliverance. I can see the power of God. I can see that God will make a way out of no way. It's not your birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. So when you go out looking for gifts, find one that would be befitting to the power of a mighty God. Know that there are some gifts that you have that cannot be bought with money. And there are some things that God has in store for you. Every gift that God has for you, none of them are wrapped in a box. None of them have a bow. But how many of you know that you don't have to be wrapped up? Just give me what you're going to give me. Because what God has for you, it's for you. Now, if you can't afford certain gifts, walk away from them. I guarantee you, whatever you give, even if initially it looks like it's not appreciated, after they think about it, after they hear some of the stories of some of the other ones that didn't get anything, they appreciate what they got. We got to learn how to start creating some principles within not only the young folk, but we got some old folk. You better not go Christmas morning and you don't have them nothing. Hello. Great at the love of God. Sometimes you can't. And if you can't, you can't. The main thing is don't feel bad. Don't walk around with your head hung down. And don't let what you can't do steal your joy. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. When we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's your gift. It's already been here. And it's a gift that will never die. It's a gift that every time you receive him, you are refreshed. And God give you a new spirit, a new mindset, that things are going to work out for your good. As we continue through this holiday season, a lot of us will be out there gift buying. Those gifts are going to be bought with money. Those gifts are going to disappear one day. But the gift of God, Paul said, there are some things that you can do in life, and your payment will be death. For he said, the wages of sin is death. So now you get your payment for doing wrong, and that payment is death. But the gift of God is eternal life.